You turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, and we shall commence reading at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day asked of John's student two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And now the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We shall read from verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, and followed him. And finally, in the 6th chapter of John, John chapter 6, we shall commence at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word. Shall we pause for prayer? O God, our Father, it is with such joy that we come into thy presence today. Thou hast done such great things for us, whereof we are glad. And we pray now that as we meditate upon thy holy word, that thou wilt teach us lessons that will prove to be helpful and profitable to us in our Christian experience. We pray if there are any here today who have never yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that this may be the very day when they will receive him as their own Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning I would like to speak to you concerning Andrew, who of course is invariably referred to as Simon Peter's brother. And as we think of Andrew, we must remember that it was he who had the privilege of introducing his brother Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have several pictures of Andrew in the New Testament. One which we have not read concerning the time when the Greeks came to see Jesus and Philip turned to Andrew, because Andrew seemed to have a special ability of introducing people to the Master. And this, I believe, was his greatest ministry. Now the four pictures which we have of Andrew could be described in this way. First of all, in John chapter 1, we have a trusting faith and then a testifying faith. In Matthew 4, we have a tested faith, and in John chapter 6, we have a triumphant faith. First of all then, let us consider a trusting faith. Andrew and the writer of the Gospel of John had been disciples of John the Baptist. They had been baptized indicating their repentance. They had been sincere in their desires and earnest in their intentions. But one day, John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who beareth away the sin of the world." And for the first time, this public announcement was made concerning the reason why Jesus Christ had come into this world. He had come as the Lamb of God, provided in order that he might bear away the sin of the world. Then you will note, as we read further down, that John the Baptist refers to him as the Son of God. And when, finally, Andrew and John came to understand who this person was, they refer to him as the Christ, or the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now when, on the second occasion, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew and John decided to investigate the situation more closely. And so they went to ask questions of the Lord Jesus, to find out more concerning him and his ministry. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saw their interest, he said to them, "Come and see." And there are three words I would like you to note in John 1 verse 39. It says they came, they saw, and they abode. Three important words in respect to a trusting faith. They came, they saw, they abode. The fact that they came indicates the response of faith. The hymn says, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he hath made me glad." A trusting faith implies the willingness to come and put one's confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we're willing to respond to His invitation to commit our lives entirely to His care. I want to ask you, have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus say, "Come unto me"? And a further question, may I ask, have you personally responded to that invitation? Because it is still being issued. The Savior is still saying this morning, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And as we come to the very end of the divine record, in the last book of the Bible, and in the last chapter, the final word is "come." And oh, dear friends, if you have never yet come to Jesus, I want to invite you right at the very outset of my message today to come and put your trust in His name. Then they saw. This indicates the reality of faith. I saw one hanging on a tree, in agony and blood. He turned his languished eyes on me as near the cross I stood. And my dear friends, if you will look away to Jesus Christ today, realizing your sin, and turning entirely to Him in a trusting faith, then this very day your sins will be forgiven, your soul will be saved, and you will be the happy possessor of eternal life. A man who was so often referred to as the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as a young lad went in search of the way of salvation. And in giving his testimony, he said that although he listened to many excellent sermons, yet he did not hear the simple plan of salvation through faith in the finished work of Christ until one snowy morning in the city of Colchester. He was setting out on his quest once more, but because of climatic conditions, he was not able to reach his destination. He heard singing coming from a little Methodist chapel. He entered the building. The regular preacher was not able to reach the chapel that day, and so one of the church officers occupied the pulpit. He was not used to preaching, but he had a wonderful text. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And over again he repeated those words. And then he began to speak of how Christ had been nailed for us upon the cross, how he had died for our sins at Calvary. And looking down at young Spurgeon, he said, "Young man, all that you've got to do today is just look to Jesus, confess your sin, and accept Him as your Savior." And there and then, Charles Spurgeon realized the simplicity of a personal faith in the living Lord. And in giving the account, he said, "I looked, and I looked so earnestly, so believingly, that I felt I would never, never lose sight of my glorious Lord, the one who died for my sins at Calvary." And it was that look that brought salvation to Spurgeon. Oh, my dear friends, if we will look to Christ in a trusting faith, we will know the blessing that He will impart to us. They came. They saw. They abode. What does Jesus say? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The response of faith, they came. The reality of faith, they saw. a real Christ, the Savior of the world. And they abode. This is the rest of faith. Jesus, I am resting. In the joy of what thou art, I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Won't you rest in faith today in the Lord Jesus Christ and know the peace that can be possessed by those who trust in his name? A trusting faith became a testifying faith. We note here Andrew's interest in a soul. John 1:41 says, he first findeth his own brother Simon. It was a wonderful day when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. But my dear friend, the Lord has saved you not only in order that you might be blessed, but that you might become a blessing to others. And we should all have an interest in soul winning. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find a way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. And I want to say again this morning that one of the greatest joys and encouragements I've ever had in my Christian ministry has been to see the eagerness and the enthusiasm of our students at Washington Bible College in sharing the faith with others. We interview all our students every week personally in respect to their Christian service. They fill out a form giving an account of their ministry for that week. Then they bring that form with them to our office, and we interview them and ask questions concerning their experiences in seeking to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And every day, I'm just praising the Lord for what he has done through the ministry of these students who have an interest in winning others to Jesus Christ. I mentioned the other night that on the campus of the University of Maryland, many souls have been won for Christ in recent weeks. In our various activities all around the Washington area, the Lord has been blessing in a most wonderful way. I've never seen anything like it in all my experience in evangelism. Teaching others also is creating such an interest on the part of students to win others to the Savior. And my dear friends, this should be normal Christian practice. I read in the Reader's Digest some time ago an interesting article concerning the amazing growth of the Mormon Church. And there were two expressions in that article that impressed me particularly. One was complete commitment, and the other was total involvement. The Mormons are making tremendous headway spreading their evil teaching that is completely contrary to the Word of God. And yet those of us who are Bible-believing Christians, again and again, are silent when we should be sharing with others the blessings that we have found in Jesus Christ. Someone has said that some Christians are like the rivers in Alaska. They're frozen at the mouth. But the message should go out from us. We should testify to others concerning the Lord Jesus. We have found the Messiah. This was the importance of the service. There was confidence. as Andrew testified to Peter. Not we are searching for him, not we think we have found him, but we have. And beloved, Christ means everything to us. Consequently, we want to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say that there never has been a better ear for the gospel in the United States of America than there is right now. There are many hungry hearts. Our students were dead scared when they first went to the University of Maryland. But they found so many students who were seeking for reality and searching for security that can only be found in Jesus Christ our Lord. The interest in a soul, the importance of the service, and wonder of wonders, the introduction to the Savior. Can you think of any joy, beloved, greater than the joy of introducing someone else to the Lord Jesus? I never cease to lose the thrill, the joy, the blessing of being used by God in introducing someone else to my blessed Savior. Oh, may the Lord help us to be enthusiastic in witnessing for Jesus Christ. Try to win another soul for Jesus. For somebody once helped you when you were far away, how they used to plead and pray until at last the Lord saved you. Try to win another soul for Jesus, for that's what every Christian ought to do. Every day and every hour, by the Holy Spirit's power, try to win another sinner for the Lord. A trusting faith, a testifying faith, and now a tested faith. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the Savior says, "Follow me." This is a test. Are we prepared to be true disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to follow him every day and all the way? Then there is the training. I will make you to become fishers of men. Sometimes Christians feel that it is difficult for them to express what they want to say in witnessing to others concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a great believer in the use of the four spiritual laws, which makes it comparatively easy to share with someone else the truth of the Word of God. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Then the fact of sin is emphasized. Then the truth concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. And then the necessity of individually accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. The Lord says, if you follow me, I'll give you the right training. I will make you to become fishers of men. And in my classes in evangelism, again and again, we have testimonies from students who, for the very first time, started out in soul winning. And once they win their first soul to Jesus Christ, I tell you, there's no stopping the man. Not that one would ever wish to stop them, one wants to encourage them, but they're out to win others to the Lord Jesus. The task, I will make you to become fishers of men. The test is that we follow. The training is, he's going to make us to become, and the task, fishers of men. And finally, a triumphant faith. Now in John chapter 6, we have the record of the miracle of feeding the 5,000 men besides the women and children who were there. The Lord Jesus asked Philip what should be done to feed the multitude. You'll note it says, that this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. This was a tested faith. Philip began working with the earliest form of the computer. And he estimated that it would need 200 pennyworth of bread to give each person just a little. Only a small snack to keep them going until they went home to have supper that night. But you will notice that Andrew comes into the picture here again. He has found out that there is a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. One of the most amazing things in this story is that this boy, after all this time, had still his lunch intact. Most boys that I know usually eat their lunch well ahead of time. But he still had it. And Andrew said, now this is all we've got, it's not very much. But Andrew had the inestimable privilege of introducing that boy to the Lord Jesus. And that very little was made much by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was Sister Abigail who wrote the booklet, was it not? Little as much, if God is in it. Now we want to consider this supply. And there are 3 things that I would like you to remember, if you will, concerning it. First of all, it was a surrendered supply. This little that the boy had was handed over to the Lord. Now many of us may think today that we have so little to give to the Master, that our gifts are so limited, that our abilities are so minimal, that it's hardly worth even mentioning that we could give that little to Him. But the question is, are you prepared to give what you've got to Christ? It's not your ability he's looking for, it's your availability. Are you willing to make yourself available to him? Oh, but you say, Lord, this is so insignificant. I couldn't begin to offer this little to you. The boy must have had that kind of feeling when he knew what was going to be done with his lunch. There is a lad here. That lad was willing to give the little he had to the Savior. Many years ago in Scotland, an evangelical preacher was having a meeting with some of his elders. They were discussing the work in the previous few months. One of the elders said, I think that perhaps there's only been one person made a commitment to Christ during these past few months. And after all, he's only a boy. That boy came to his pastor and said, do you think if I studied the Bible and prepared myself that maybe God would call me one day to be a missionary in Africa? The old pastor's heart was greatly encouraged. And he said to the boy, yes, I believe that God could equip you and send you to be a missionary one day. When that boy became a man, he went out to what was then called Baptist Africa with the message of the gospel. His name, Robert Must. When he returned home on his first furlough, he was speaking in Blantyre. And there in the congregation, there was another young man called David Livingston. And through the ministry of Robert Must, David Livingston decided to go out as a missionary to Africa. We all know how the Lord used these two men. When David Livingstone returned on his first furlough, he traveled all over the British Isles telling of the great needs and opportunities in Africa. The noble band of volunteers went out with the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, it started with only a boy. And our dear friends of the Children's Bible Mission and others who are engaged in winning young people to Christ know the value of a soul. It may just be a young child, but if that little one is willing to give her heart to Jesus Christ, one can never estimate what a tremendous influence that young person can be in days to come. And I believe we're going to get many surprises when we get home to heaven. A surrendered supply. Are you willing to lay it all at Jesus' feet today? Are you prepared to give Him what you've got? The second thing was, it became a supernatural supply. Because we read that the people had as much as they would. Verse 11. Philip had said, 200 penny worth of bread will give each person a little. But here they had as much as they wanted. And this is how the Lord blesses. He multiplies over and over again. At Washington Bible College, it became very obvious when we were in Washington, D.C., that we would not be able to continue the work of the college at that location. We looked around for property. And finally, a Catholic seminary came in the market. And ultimately, after many months had passed and we thought that the opportunity may have gone from us, finally, the day came when the 63 acres with the property, with the buildings, became ours. Now, Washington Bible College had only very little money. But the trustees decided to step out in faith. And my dear friends, I've been absolutely amazed and delighted to see how the Lord has supplied the need. Grant you, we're still paying 10% on $200,000, but that is being cleared off as more money is invested in the school. And God has proven over and over again His faithfulness. As I said the other day, the words written by Paul in Philippians 4:19 are still true. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Some of my students the other day were asking me questions concerning what this meant to live by faith. And I had to give some personal illustrations because I thought they might be the ones that they would remember best. And I told this class how my grandfather many years ago left a lucrative position in the business world in order to give all his time to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the best part of 40 years, he served the Lord in Britain, some years in this country, and then the last years of his life in New Zealand. My father stepped out in faith, and for some 44 years, he looked to the Lord alone for the supply of our needs. I told that class that when my dear mother used to get down on her knees and say, Lord, I don't know how we're going to manage tomorrow, but Lord, you've never failed, and I know you're going to supply our need. And as a little boy, I would see that there never was any failure in that supply. That even although we were tested again and again, as a little boy, I would hear my dear mother pray in faith, believing that the Lord would supply the need. And then I would see how the Lord answered these prayers.
And friends, I could never, never doubt the Lord after that. I was brought up to believe that I was trusting in a faithful God who never would fail. And I want to say to you that the Lord will never fail those who trust Him. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. A supernatural supply, all our need met. When I decided to step out into full-time service, a Christian man who had been very successful in business said, "Do you realize what you're doing? You're giving up a lucrative practice where you have security to step out in faith? Do you realize what this is going to mean to your wife and family?" I said, "My dear brother, my grandfather did this long ago, and the Lord never failed him. My father did the same. My uncle who served the Lord all during his ministry in this country had the same experience. And he has never, never failed me yet. Praise God, he never will." We used to sing that chorus, you know, back there in the old country. First we sang, "God is still in the throne." You all know that one. Then the compliment of that was, "He has never, never failed me yet. And I never, never will his love forget. So I'll travel bravely on, singing this my happy song. He has never, never failed me yet." And praise God, we can trust Him every day. This is a triumphant faith. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. A surrendered supply, a supernatural supply, and praise God, it's a satisfying supply. It says in verse 12, "When you were filled." This was not just a small snack to keep them going until they went home to have supper. Not at all. This was a good square meal. They were fully satisfied. In fact, there was so much that there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. The old hymn is right when it says, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. A surrendered supply. Are you willing to dedicate yourself? To give your time and your talents to the Lord? Are you prepared to say, 'Oh Lord, I want to give my life to You. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary.'" This surrendered supply on your part will become a supernatural supply under the mighty hand of God. And it will become a satisfying supply, not only in your own Christian experience, but also to those with whom you come into contact. A trusting faith. A testifying faith. A tested faith. For remember, a true faith is always a tested faith. And then a triumphant faith. Praise God for an unfailing and ever faithful Lord. We're going to sing 373 as a closing hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, neath the healing, cleansing blood. We'll sing verses 3 and 4 of number 373. Just these two verses, numbers 3 and 4.
Yes, it's sweet. trust an armchair. Let's sing it. I'm so glad I left to grasp the precious
dear friend, if you have never yet put your hand of trust in the hand of the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do it today. Won't you say now, the Lord has spoken to you. O Lord, I confess my sin. Lord Jesus, I now put my trust in Thee. Will you make that decision now at the close of this service today, and then know the blessing of what it really means to trust in Jesus. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Gracious Lord and Master, oh, we're so thankful today for that moment in our experience when first we trusted in Thee. We pray for a blessing upon any who this morning may have for the very first time responded to Thy invitation, realized their sin, and recognized the fact that Thou didst die in order that our sins might be forgiven and that our souls might be saved. Lord, bless those who perhaps right here today have said yes to Thee, blessed Lord Jesus. For those of us here who know and love Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, we're so glad for the moment when we learn to trust Thee. We know that walking by faith means a continual dependence upon Thee. We thank Thee for the reality of this faith. Oh Lord, Thou hast been far better to us than ever we deserve. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. And blessed Lord, we can certainly praise Thee for all that is past, and truly trust Thee for all that's to come. Lord, wilt Thou be pleased to draw near to any who may have a doubts and misgivings, fears and frustrations may beset them. Draw near, blessed Lord, and make Thyself real in every Christian's experience. For we know it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all who are truly trusting in our Savior's name. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.